Yes, I am personally looking forward to not having to keep clearing my throat. So, we've been talking about speaking the truth. And there's been one aspect of it. It's what I actually started looking into it at first. How many of you have talked to yourself? Okay. Anybody that denies this, we have a liar's repentance line at the end of service. We all talk to ourselves, don't we? We get a little embarrassed. Oh, I'm sorry, I was talking to myself. Just so you know, the studies have shown it doesn't mean you're crazy, because 99.9% of society talks to themselves, because it stimulates things in your brain. It helps you memorize things. I was thinking about that. I can remember back when I was 6 years old in Buffalo, West Virginia, getting ready for the Christmas play. And I got a line. What I want for Christmas. I want a red wagon. A bouncy ball. And I don't remember the rest because I was six and I'm not now. But I do remember that. I also do remember standing up in front of them about yay tall in front of this entire auditorium. And I spoke so loud and clear that the entire auditorium laughed. Mom said, they weren't laughing at you, honey. She said, we couldn't hear anybody else, but you were so loud. I'm looking forward to that again. But you were so loud and clear, everybody could hear you. But I remember that. Why? Because my dad sat with me and he kept reading my line and I had to replay it back to him. And we went over and over and over and over until I knew it. And so I didn't miss a beat. So many times we think that talking to ourselves is a sign of mental deficiency. It absolutely is not. Now, if you're having conversations with dead people, you might be on the other side of that spectrum. I personally worked with a guy who, he was a shift supervisor, and he talked to himself all the time. Which was a little disturbing when you're beside him and he's talking and you say, what? And he just looks at you like, you're crazy. You're the one talking. And he wasn't trying to figure out a problem. But that is one of the things that talking to ourselves does. It helps us figure out problems. Now, where did I put that? I was over here. Or better yet, why did I come in this room? Then you got to go back and say, okay, I got to go back, and you stand there and you look at the door. Well, this isn't far enough back. I got to go over to this room. What was I doing? That's what I was doing. Sometimes talking to yourself helps you work things out. I do it all the time. And I know many of you do. Like I said, just about every hand went up. And I don't think those that didn't went up were lying. It can help you solve the problems. Different parts of the brain are activated when we hear words. Things start processing. Hearing our own voice stimulates brain activity, which is another reason to speak truth, right? If you're speaking the lies that have been told about you all your life, well, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, you stink, right? All the things stupid kids say. Kids who got it from their parents. Who think it's funny to talk about other people. Which is another reason to speak truth, but not our truth. Sometimes we have a truth in us that is not exactly quite the truth. I can do that. I'll tell you one thing I cannot do, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot dunk a basketball. And at this point in my life, I never will. Even if I jump on a trampoline and get up in the air, you still got to come down. And every joint in my body is already screaming, don't. Just don't. Our truth has a tendency to be tainted with effects of actions and words in our life. What you believe about yourself, most of it's because somebody said something to you. I always believed I was tiny. A girl that I'd like called me shrimp. In the fourth grade, I was tiny. I didn't grow until the seventh and eighth grade. And I spoke to her years later after high school, and she said, "Did you ever grow?" I said, "Yeah. We went to high school together." I said, "How tall are you?" She says, "I'm 5'3". I said, "I'm 5 inches taller than you." But that always stuck with me. You're tiny. You know what? Like I've said, I shared this last week. I'll get it out. When I joined the Marines, all you ever see are the big guys on the commercials, and they look tough and buff. Even armed, all of them do it. They want you to see the cream of the crop. Even the guys standing with the president and stuff, they have a height limit. 6 foot is the minimum for these duties. What's that do for 90% of the Corps that's only 5'8"? I joined and I'm standing there, I'm like, "My people! Where you been?" So, since not all of it has been good, hopefully some of it has. You're talented. Sometimes it comes from other people that can see beyond. You're just such a screw up. Unfortunately, we hear that from the people we love the most. You'll never amount to anything. You're so lazy. That L word was one word I made sure I never, ever spoke to my children. Because they weren't lazy. Now, I'm not going to say that they went and instantly done everything I ever said. They're children. Remember that first and foremost. They want to do what they want to do. But I knew people who were told they were lazy, and now they don't know how to stop and enjoy life. Because they just work, work, work to prove that they're not lazy. And the reality is, God never said you had to work yourself silly. As a matter of fact, he got so to the point, he mandated time off. It started in the garden. You have 6 days to work, you take an entire day off. I'm glad I had a good grip on that. Michelle might have. He made sure. And then when man rejected him and chose religion, that's what Adam ultimately did. Do you realize that? He rejected the relationship with God and chose law. The children of Israel did the same thing. And even then, God was merciful and he said, "You gotta have times off. These are holidays. You don't work." Part of it was to show the children of Israel, "I will bless you. Trust me and I will bless you." Some of us have just been told we'd never amount to anything, so we overachieve. "I've got this doctorate. I've got that doctorate." What does a doctorate do you good? You can teach. Do you teach? No. "I've got it." Who cares? How many of you watched the 1% game? I know there's a few of us. I know Phil and Cheryl watch it. It's really a challenging game. But they said it doesn't matter what your educational background is. It doesn't matter how smart you think you are. It matters on all these other equations. And how many times have people said, "Well, I'm a this, I'm a that," and they're out in the first three questions, which are simple. And they're usually mind games. God knows this as well. He has spoken to us through the centuries. He knows that when we hear things, we have a tendency to retain them, as long as we're not distracted with other things. In Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light." God said it. He didn't. He spoke out of his mouth and light came. By the way, the sun wasn't created until day three. You know what I think? If we were to really get into nitty gritty on all the words, I think God said, let there be light. And he said, here I am. I'm on the scene. Because he was the light. Until day three, he was the light. He brought forth light. So God speaks. Genesis 1:22 says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Today, we have, and God just said, you did it too. You said, bless. What was the blessing? We call it the blessing. We bless the food. What is the blessing? Here he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. This is just to the animals. We need to speak forth the things of God into our children's life, into our lives. Speak it, mom and dad, husband and wife. Friends, speak blessing into your friends' lives. You want good for your children? Start speaking that good into them. You cannot withhold the blessing from them. Otherwise, jealousy starts happening. And by the way, you should never be jealous of your own children. You got a major malfunction if that is the case. You don't have to keep up with your kids. God also reminded Adam that he had commanded him not to eat of the tree, saying, did I not say to you, did I not speak to you, thou shalt not eat of it? I've pointed this out before, ladies and gentlemen. God told Adam, not Eve. Because Adam was the covering. That's why Jesus is called the second Adam. It's not just second man. He was the second covering. Jesus Christ became our covering. His blood atoned us of what the first Adam failed to do. But don't worry, God knew Adam was going to do it. He had already made preparation. When it comes to giving orders, law, or information, speaking out loud is the most effective method of passing on such knowledge. One, I can't tell her and then tell you to pass it on, because we all played the phone game, right, when we were kids. By the time he got to the end of the line, so-and-so was pregnant. And the girl on the end was like, what? I don't even have a boyfriend. That's why one person speaking out gets that word out. Speaking out loud is the most effective method. In the military, orders are handed down via written communication to begin with, but they are also given verbally at the same point. And the battalion commander will stand up in front of 1,000 Marines and he will say, this has come down. This is what we're doing. This is what we're not doing. This is our objective. This is our goal. Platoon commanders take, or company commanders take over, and then the company commander will do the exact same thing. And then he'll say, platoon commanders. And then he'll say, squad leaders. So that information comes down to each and every individual. By the way, this is what God set up Israel as. Jethro spoke into Moses' life, and he said, you're taking on too much. You need people in these places. So Moses would meet with the elders. He would give them the word. They'd go back and they'd talk to their elders, to their leaders. And they'd turn around and they'd go back to their families and they'd tell the families, this is what the Lord has said today. They all had the same word. However, if they are not given out by verbal means in a mass formation, then the troops do not have their mission, their goal, or the law. And if they have not been given such word by the intermediate commander, then they are not held responsible for violating it. I can't be held liable for something I never was told. One of our general orders for guard duty was to pass on all orders and information. We were to pass on to the next watch. It was part of it. We had to do that. And by the way, every person who stood guard duty knew all 11 general orders. We even created a 12th. I won't tell you. Some people in the military know. You don't take it. How's it go? I will tell you. Walk my post from flank to flank and take no mess from any rank. And those of you who stood guard duty know doggone well. I don't care what who you say you are. You show me an ID or you get a bullet. And if you think I'm kidding, ask these guys. It's no joke. Grace would be given if they were not ever told. Not that all responsibility on behalf of the violator is always ignored. Sometimes common sense is supposed to engage. But I was not told this. This was not handed down. The sergeant of the guard did not tell me. Then they go to the sergeant of the guard, and the sergeant of the guard calls, I was not given the orders. Then they go to the officer of the day, and the officer of the day says, you meant that? So whatever was not supposed to happen, happened because somebody failed to tell. So we need to speak. And if you're trying to tell your children how to do something or tell them what to do, but you always just write it down, you're not guaranteed that they read your little note. How many movies have you watched where somebody writes a note down and the wind blows it away? Miraculously. Or it falls under a filing cabinet. Man has an unwritten law. Ignorance is no excuse. Don't we? Well, you should have known. You go to a foreign country. They don't give you grace. You should have known. You came to our country. Why is it the United States was the only one given grace? I've been in some foreign countries. First thing we were warned is do not violate their laws. Their prisons aren't nice. First thing I got when I got to Japan, you do not want to be in a Japanese prison, especially as an American. While God does not desire for us to be ignorant, I do not believe that he holds us accountable for violating things we have no knowledge of. If I have no knowledge that I shouldn't shave a mohawk in my head, and God comes and says, I'm judging you because you've got a mohawk. But I didn't know. Well, you should have. How am I going to if I'm never told? How will the people hear if there's never a preacher? I believe every measure is taken by God to see to it that all men may know of his goodness expressed through Jesus Christ before they stand before him in judgment. So if you're worrying about all these people that have died, I personally believe, because it is not God's will that any should perish. You need to understand that first and foremost. So the first thing you need to understand is God's will always done on earth? No. And if you believe that, you're twisted to think that God would send people to hell. Because people go to hell because they reject him. The Bible says it is not his will that any should perish. I believe that is why we have a built-in search mode that causes us to seek out God. Everybody's got it. We say there's a hole. There's even a song about a God-shaped hole. There's something in us that's always seeking God. It's looking, it's searching. Some people find false gods. Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam, Judaism, Well, don't you, aren't you finding God? Not in modern Judaism. Modern Judaism, you're finding law, tradition. Even in some Christian sects, that's what you're finding. Well, we don't believe in miracles. The Bible doesn't say you have to. Well, I believe Jesus was a prophet. Okay, now we got a problem. You totally wipe away the point of being a Christian. How many of our favorite actors that make sure they, you know, they're Jewish, they'll wear their yarmulkes. They won't eat bacon. And if they do, they're not telling you. But they do not practice the law. At all. You cannot, is it 650 plus? Something ridiculous. It's not just all the little laws that God gave them. It's not the Ten Commandments. They have to follow it, all of it. And that's why Paul said you can't do it. Some may have their paths cratered with obstacles put there by through religious ways that have erred from God, from people who have erred from God's mercy. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Many of you have been. You've had somebody in your life who was a even tongue-talking, devil-casting out, Bible-thumping preacher who really didn't care about you. And I use this word because I care about you, but I'm not your babysitter. I'll tell you like that right now. I'm not responsible for your life. What I'm responsible for is right here, telling you the truth. What you do with it, well, I don't believe it. Not my problem. I'm not going to be the one to stand before God and say, yeah, I didn't believe what the man you put me under said. He was just trying to look out for me, but I didn't like it. We have our lives cratered with things because people want control. Just so you know, I don't want to control your life. It's hard enough controlling mine. It gets a little chaotic. I'm looking at her, but not because of her. You understand that, right? But God will still show us the way through it. For those who are still struggling, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, it will be. I believe more than anything, I honestly do. I know people say, well, I believe he said you can physically tell that mountain to move. What purpose does telling a physical mountain to move have? But telling an obstacle that's in front of me spiritually, get out of my way. I believe that. And the first step to telling it to get out of your way is to say, Father, I forgive them. A man can read something, walk away and forget what he read. Many times he can hear someone give a command, compliment, or derogatory comment, and that will be remembered more easily. By the way, derogatory comments have the ability to stick with us for a very long time. You'll remember more negative than you will the positive. I remember in 1996, I was doing some transitioning myself, been out of the Marine Corps for 3 years at that point. I was in a job that I wasn't really thrilled with anymore. And I was like, you know what? I was just missing some things. Struggling, or new dad, back in a new, been in the state right around a year at that time. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to re-enlist. And I can't remember if you talked to me into just checking out reserves or something. And but then I said, you know, I'm going to check out a National Guard unit nearby. There was one in Mount Vernon, motor transport. That was my MOS. Met with the recruiter, sit down, talk with him. He says, tell you what, you sign up for 1 year and I'll give you your third stripe. Okay. Yeah, I got sergeant stripes. And I talked with Angela. You know, you don't make that kind of decision. And I talked with her and we prayed. But she said, honey, I want you to remember one thing. You're missing the camaraderie. There is a huge camaraderie, but I'm going to tell you right now, the camaraderie that the military has overseas is nothing. Or is the camaraderie here stateside is nothing compared to that when you're deployed. Totally different. My last unit in the Marine Corps, it was a joke. It was really a joke. But the units that I had overseas, I'm still in contact with some of those guys. It meant something more. We were all in the same thing. But she reminded me that I was missing that camaraderie, and I was thinking only of the good times, that I had forgotten about getting yelled at because I accidentally hooked my sunglasses to the outside of my blouse instead of the inside. I was forgetting getting yelled at because I locked the shop up at the appointed time instead of waiting for somebody who really didn't give a rat's butt about me to show his slap happy butt back up. So there's so many things that I had forgotten. I was only remembering the good times. We talk about certain things, and that's all we remember are the good times. Certain decisions need to be based on good and bad times. Would you still reenlist? Absolutely. Without a doubt. And if I had to go through everything the same exact way, yes. But I'd hope God would let me have the knowledge that I have on this side. Negative comments need to be controlled. Ephesians 4:6 says, be angry and sin not. Well, I don't understand. Your mouth should not be allowed to cause you to sin. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, speech, he is perfect. He's mature. He has reached the end. I'm not perfect. Able also to bridle the whole body. I'm struggling right now, ladies and gentlemen. January, I took a very low-carb commitment. By the way, the jeans I've had on, I haven't been able to wear for over a year. And I got room because of that. But I saw those donuts this morning. And I looked at them. And I know where I'm going to be this afternoon. There's cupcakes going to be there. Kayla's cupcakes are going to be there. I had to behave myself. I said, no, self, you will not eat that eclair. You will wait and join in the celebration and have a cupcake, or maybe just half. I had the teeniest tiny piece of carrot cake last night, that big. First sweet anything I've had in 2.5 months. I've been able to start controlling that a little bit better. Just because I like a lot of other things. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. You are in control of your tongue. Don't tell me you can't control it. If you've got to bite it off, bite it off. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. For it is better to enter heaven maimed than into hell whole. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Why do you think the press is so powerful? It's more powerful for them to tell you than it is for you to read a newspaper. You would rather hear somebody tell you than you to sit down and read it. Because while they're telling you, they can twist it. their inflections, the way they tell things. See how great a forest fire. And a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of sin. Be angry and sin not. You can be angry with your children, but the second you tear them down, you've sinned. It is sin, and it is iniquity because it comes from within. It is something inside of you that is wrong. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. We were joking about this morning, about how Theo, he was going around and he was putting his hands on all the windows that he could reach, right? And I said, yeah, you remember Carter started doing that, but he'd licked them. I said, and he does, well, he doesn't do it. I take it back. I have found some lick marks about yay high. I'm like, why are you licking the window? I told Michelle, I said, maybe there's something in the Windex that tastes good. I don't know. Usually when you get something bitter, your whole body reacts. You know, it's always hilarious. I think it's hilarious. Of course, I'm a sick man. To watch particularly babies eat a lemon for the first time. You know, they just break into convulsions. But your tongue can set your entire body off. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, Pastor, how am I supposed to work towards being a perfect man? You're supposed to surrender that to the Holy Spirit and start listening to that voice that says, don't speak. Shut up. Well, I don't believe God would be rude. That's because you're not listening to him. Well, that's not God. He said, shut up. Shut up is rude. It's only rude because you're Nancy. There, I said it. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. We're all made in the image of God, male and female, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what God actually looks like, but we are both. That's why when we come together spiritually, that is why God hates divorce, because when you've come together physically and you become one spiritually as well, you are directly in his image. You look like him. You think like him. You act like him. There's been several times here in the last couple weeks, she's like, honey, stop and think. I'm like, I will. And then there's times I'm like, honey, you gotta move. You gotta move your feet. You gotta do something. But that's the both of us. We're a team. And together we make up one. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You don't need to be tearing people down. I know you're sitting there saying, well, you called people a Nancy. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? How are you standing here saying, oh, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the King of Kings. Lord God, I can't believe you sent me to this church to listen to that loud mouth jerk. Well, maybe there's something I'll say that'll help you. Maybe there's something I'll say that'll save your life. I heard, it was actually my brother one time. He said, I was talking to a friend of his who was a SOCOM Marine, which is a special operations. And he said, Mike, he said, why does the Marine Corps eat its own? Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, we are the roughest on ourselves, on each other. We glory in tearing people down. We do. And I told him, I said, you're right. We do. I went back and I read my shooting book, my range book from boot camp. And there's a place for notes, and I wrote notes. And I looked at that and I was like, Lord God, why Why was I so hard on myself? I had expert. This day on prequal, Lord, I went back. I was like, Lord, is there a way I can bend my barrel? Bend my front sight post? Because that's the only way I'm getting out of qualification is if my rifle is unserviceable. I'm like, I've got the top badge. The next day, 5 points away from being disqualified. Don't ask me what happened, but I look back and through this mind now, I can look back and I can see what happened. The words that I was telling myself, how I thought I was speaking truth, affected me the next day. And that's all I ever thought on was those words. Why did I do that shot? Why? And I actually hit the target. I don't think you understand, folks. Some of you guys have shot some of these discs. We started at 200 yards shooting through a teeny tiny hole that is 1/16 of an inch big at a target that is this big. And then we go to 300 and then to 500. And nothing changes except elevation and windage. And I kept telling myself I was stupid for taking that shot. I was this, I was that, not what I had done. I said, oh, I actually hit it. I hit the target. But I began to listen to my own negativity, my own words, and hamstrung myself. After that, I quit listening to myself. And my scores went up. I never got expert again. I was 1 point below. Oh, well. Doesn't matter. What they say is if you're a marksman, which is how I know Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot JFK, because he was just a marksman. He was the lowest of the low. You're going to die a long, painful death. Now you step up to sharpshooter, you're going to die relatively quickly. Marksman or expert, you're dying instantly. So I gave him a little pain if I had to shoot him. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Last week I told you about the mustard seed. Mustard seed's not going to produce grapes. It's going to produce more mustard seed to make mustard. So I can put it on my hot dog. Or I can put it on my brat. Or I can mix it in with my potato salad. Right? Because I don't want ketchup on my potato salad, personally. You like it? More power to you. But I don't sit and tell people that their food is nasty. Unless you're eating excrement, eat what you want. But when people tell me that what I'm eating is nasty, I just want to slap you. Because my Bible says, eat what is put before you. Thus no spring yields both. I'm supposed to bring forth this fruit. She brings forth a fruit. We're different. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Let me tell you what meekness doesn't do. It doesn't stand up and point to itself. I used to describe the word meek because it doesn't mean weak. It actually means strength. Meekness is the ability, along with tact, to tell the commandant of the Marine Corps, the highest military man in the Marine Corps, that he has bad breath. And you get promoted for it because you did it right. I know it maybe doesn't make sense to you. I had the ability. I was bigger than the commandant. I could have kicked his butt. He was old. He just died. He was 95. Just like, holy smoke. kicking butt and taking names. But show that our work is done by meekness. Meekness literally means I have the ability to change this through force, but I won't. I have the ability to change this, but it's going to come off as pride. There are things we are called to change. And sometimes there's actions that need to take place. And like I said, many people don't like the current president because he's taking action. Well, he's arrogant. I didn't hire him because he was a putz. I hired him because he does things to get them done. And if we got to sit around mamby-pamby people all the time stealing billions to teach little boys in Paraguay that they need to be little girls, we've got a problem. Pastor, you shouldn't be and get political. This isn't political. This is righteousness. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. First person you got to admit the truth to is yourself. Lord God, why am I wanting that? Ladies and gentlemen, I never wanted this. Ever. But God said, you're it. How many of you got Amazon Prime? Get them up. I know you shop. How many of you watch The House of David? Okay, if not, those of you who got it, watch it. It's excellent. Oh, but they take so much licensing. Well, of course they do, because your Bible's a narrative. It's not every day, everything. But in it, and by the way, David was not of the same mother as his brothers. That is historical. Rabbinical teachers and teachings and books say for sure he was not of the same mother. That's why his brothers hated him. Does that sound any familiar to anybody else in the Bible that was of a different mother, that brothers hated him, but yet turned around to be the savior of the entire family? It's excellent. But in it, David's out with the sheep. Samuel shows up after God has rejected Saul because Saul got prideful. I'm going to make this king grovel at my feet. We're going to have a festival. We're going to keep all his sheep, all his cattle, all his gold. We're going to keep it. And God said, I told you to kill him. And he's out there. They finally, you know the story if you don't read it, so that when you're watching the show, you're like, oh, there it is. He was watching the sheep when Samuel showed up. All of his brothers are in a line. Stands up there in front of Eliab. Our Bible says he looked at him and God, he's like, oh, Samuel says to himself, sure, certainly this is the man. Look, he's so stout. He's a warrior. Certainly this is the man God has chosen. And God said, no, I've rejected him for his heart. Not his blood pumping muscle, because he was arrogant in his heart. And Samuel got to the end of the line. I mean, it's excellent acting, and it really was, or is. And he gets to the end and he walks away. And he's like, Lord, did I miss someone? Did I miss something? He turns around and he says, is this all your sons? And he says, well, there is David. Even his own father didn't like him. There is David. Well, go get him. I said, bring forth your sons. And by the way, nobody sits and nobody eats until he's back. They feared Samuel because they knew God moved through him. And why did God choose David? Because he was humble. Oh, he's going to mess up. We know more of the Bible. He messes up royally. But yet God never took his hand off of him. And the scepter never left Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, Our mouth speaks of arrogant things because of our heart. Let me point to the right area. Because of this. You can have a team that is 120 out of 120. Woo! We're number one! I'm not saying they should think themselves to be total losers. But let's face it. You're 120 out of 120. You are not number one. Do not boast and lie against the truth. I can't come out and say, man, bless God, I can walk on water. I'm the most perfect and humble man I know. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the next time you step out on water, you're sinking. I don't care if it's just a little bit of water on the asphalt. God's going to find a way to make that 10 feet deep. So that you understand, you are not God. And by the way, humility doesn't tell everybody what it's done. And I mean right on the money. Well, looky here. Look what I did. While it's fresh. Yeah, you want to share with some people later. That's fine, but you don't have to sit there and break your arm trying to pat your own back. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. It does not come from God, but from demons who are judged already. And they know they can never be redeemed, and they're hoping you'll join them. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. Self-seeking and envy. Those are conditions of your heart. Well, look at them. God bless them. Look at that. Justin got a new truck. I deserve a new truck. Well, I'll tell you what. You do the work he did. You can have a new truck. You do what he did. Personally, I'm thrilled for him. Slightly jealous. His exhaust is louder. But I can hear my radio just fine. And the older I get, the more that matters. Confusion and envy. Confusion and every evil thing are there. You want to know why you keep coming back to the same old mountain? It's because you refuse to crucify the pride, the insolence in your own heart. Well, brother, I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do none of this. I don't do none of that. But yeah, you're still arrogant because it comes out of your mouth fluently. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God bless you, brother. I swear, you just make me so happy every time I see you. Oh, that miserable so-and-so. Right? Oh, bless their heart. Isn't that the Southern thing? Oh, bless their heart. You know they're about to talk about somebody. That's called hypocrisy. It's called acting. I presented a great face for my friend, and then I turned around and destroyed him. Why? Because I believed it, because I spoke it out of my mouth again. So many people I have to remind, you need to walk in their shoes. You walk a mile in their shoes, then we can talk. But they just, I don't care. You do what they had to do. And when you can do it, and you come out saying that they should be like this, let me know when it happens. But until then, walk the walk. Give mercy. Why do you think I give mercy? I give everybody mercy and grace. Even when I see people doing stupid things. Again, pretty sure I just taught about that. But the reality is, We've all got to fall on our face at some point. I hit my face on the campground on the north end of Okinawa at Okuma Wildlife Area. And I said, God, if there's anything you could do with this miserable piece of a man, you do it. But not through her, not through the preacher, you and me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you had better be ready for some serious heart to heart. Because he'll tell you the truth. But he hugs you. I know my boys were never real thrilled with that. Okay, got to give you swats. Now come give me a hug. Are you serious? Yeah, I didn't do it because I hate you. I didn't do it because I was mad at you. I've told you before, you'd strike your child when you're angry, you just sinned. Because anger is in pride. You made me look. Fill in whatever. That's why people do it, because you made them. I didn't make you do diddly squat. I didn't do this to you. You did it. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Make peace, ladies and gentlemen. God called me on the rug on that one day. He said, did I not call you to be a peacemaker? Yes, Lord. I'll move my wall. Righteousness is peace. And when you sow righteousness, ladies and gentlemen, you experience the same peace. You get to go home knowing, I didn't say anything stupid today. I didn't say anything braggadocious. And I'll help you figure it out if you say, I did this. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You were the one doing it, right? You were the physical labor. God did it. I'm bragging on him a little bit. He's been looking. He's had the money to buy a truck for a while. He kept sending me trucks. He'd send whoever truck. Hey, did you see this truck? Look at this truck. And then, was it a week ago? Monday, Dad, look at this truck. And then he comes in. I forget what day it was. He says, what are you doing Friday? Why? I want to go look at this truck. All right. I knew I needed to make the way. But I told her, and she will testify to this fact, because I have experienced it. I told her, I said, you watch. This will prove that this truck is of God. I said, we're going to find out after this. The dealer called me up at noon. As a matter of fact, Tim was on the phone, or Tim was standing there. And he wanted to make sure I was coming. He said, I will hold the truck. I mean, this guy's lot was half the size of this property. And it held a two-car garage and a big house. So there was very little room to turn around on. He wasn't making millions of dollars. But he said, I will hold this truck. Trusting in my word that I was going to drive an hour and a half to get there. And I told her, I said, you watch. We will find out somebody tried to buy this truck. And in God fashion, we're sitting there. He's handed over the money. The guy's got the money. We've got the agreement in place right there. He's writing up all the paperwork that needs to happen. And this little guy comes in there and he says, let me guess, that Chevy just sold. He's like, well, yeah, it did. He's like, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have waited. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I'm trying to, Mama's sitting over here. And I'm like, would you look? God confirmed it in front of him. We got to see it. We got to witness it firsthand. Somebody wanted that truck. The guy's like, they have one right down the road. It's a little nicer, but it's not $5,000 more nicer. So he said, I guess I got to go back down the road. God held that truck for him. Folks, when we bought this building, I think, Pat, you were here that day. We had some guy show up, and we're in here working and cleaning. Yeah, can I help you? Yeah, I was just wondering, is this still for sale? I want to park my semis in here. I mean, at that time, you could get one through there. It was a 12-foot door. I want to park my trucks here. Nope, we bought it. And I got word from somebody else who owns a shop here in town. He looked at me, found out who I was. He said, you bought my building. I said, no, I didn't. I bought mine. It was never for you. But afterwards, they didn't have anybody looking at it. Put it through a realtor. Nobody looked at it until after we came into it to look at it. That is a God thing. It wasn't because I was so smart. I was just obedient. And it's not pride to tell you that I was obedient in it, because let me tell you, a few times I haven't been. Well, you remember one of my latest broke my back. But folks, your tongue, speak forth. My children will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My child is smart. He is not stupid. My child is strong. He is not weak. My child will stand for God. It doesn't mean they're not going to get tested. You need to start speaking forth things for your family. If they're still moving around and thinking, continue to speak God's truth. Don't make up lies and say, well, they're going to be the next president. Probably not. Personally, as much, you know, I entertained the thought one day that I would probably become more like a dictator. Probably wouldn't be good. But the reality is, who really wants to put their family through that? I don't care which president it is. If they got kids, they got family, they are all raked through the coals. I don't want that. But you know what I do want? I want to bless my president. I want to bless those who rule. I want to bless Nancy Pelosi. Because without Jesus Christ, hell is forever. I don't judge a political line like that. I want to bless the king of Saudi Arabia. Our tongue, speaking out. You can speak to yourself. The study I read, one of my I read said, speak to yourself in the second person. Don't say, I am strong. Say, you are strong. As long as you're not third person. I did that for 3 months. It was miserable trying to remember how to talk. Sir, this recruit needs to make a head call. You need? No, sir, this recruit requests permission to make a head call. I was requested to go pee. 19 years old asking to go to the bathroom. Talk about, oh boy, it was hard getting out of that. Calling everybody sir, they're sir until the day you graduate, and then after that, you call a sergeant sir, you're getting sucker punched in the mouth. I work for a living, boy. Speak God's word. God said, I have a plan for your life. Rob and I were talking about that this morning. If a baby inside your womb is not God does not see it as a person, then why did he tell Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts I have for you. From your mother's womb, I knew you. Why? Somebody come up with a logical explanation that God recognizes a baby in the womb as a human being. Because that life is there. I don't care if the person's perfect as long as they're fighting to save lives. Again, I didn't vote for him to play patty cake. I want babies saved. I want to know that our borders are protected. I want to know that our troops are being given the right stuff and that they're not being sent in willy-nilly to every conflict. I really don't. And y'all know my stance on the military. Kick butt and take names. Like I've said before, it's easy when it's somebody else's child. Dave's boy, my boy. I got a few others who have. You start thinking about things a little differently. I remember my dad, send in the Marines. Until I joined the Marines. Then I think it hit him. Yeah, I'm wanting to send my boy into conflict. To that point, I say, send in the Marines. When it absolutely, positively has to be destroyed, send in the Marines. Let's stand. The reason God is moving, I believe, and it's not just me, throughout this country, throughout this world, on people about humility, in our speech particularly, is because one of the number one signs of the end times of the Antichrist, people fail to look at this, is the arrogance of the speech. Oh, we look at the number of the beast. That's all we're calculating. We've argued whether it's a stamp, whether it's a chip, whether it's this. Do you realize that doesn't matter? What matters is the arrogance. He said he was given, he talked more about the mouth, the many words. Nobody's calculated the mark of the beast yet. People have guessed, well, it's this, and he's on the earth. I believe the person who is the actual beast is. Everybody, it's a guess. It's a, we don't know. But all I can tell you is I can see things happening in the world. The arrogance of our speech. The arrogance of our speeches in churches. Not for truth, but for vanity's sake. God wants us humble as sheep. And that's a hard thing to do when you've been raised, you've been trained to be a watchdog. You have to be a sheep. They do as they're told by their shepherd. And if that means we go before the slaughter, then that's what we do. But you need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody, oh, I just don't want to die. Well, I'm not really thrilled about dying either. But if it's what happens, it's what happens. Because I know the second, should they separate my cranium from the rest of me, the second that happens, I'm going to be like Stephen. I'm going to see Jesus. He's going to say, welcome home. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Welcome home. Well done. Well done means a lot. So remember that. Speak life, not garbage over your family, over your friends. Start speaking life over them that they will overcome. Because they have reasons why they're resisting. But in the end, they are judged ultimately by their decisions. I can't make you. I can't make you do things. But I can warn you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. Father, I pray right now that you help us all. And I start with myself, Lord. I throw myself on your altar of mercy. For things I've said arrogantly. For thoughts that did not become of you. Lord, I pray that you help us all. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, move. Speak and work into us. Father, show us. And Father, as you told Joshua many, many times, be strong and courageous. Be courageous, Lord, in their lives. Give them that courage to make the change, to overcome these things that so easily beset them. Lord, mindsets that have come in to accept things that are not supposed to be, to reject them. Father, I thank you that your word changes us, that your Holy Spirit is to bring peace and work righteousness through us. Lord, I declare your will in people's lives today. And Father, I bless your people. Father, bless their households with peace, with health and life. Lord God, as your word says, their fruit shall not go to waste in the field. Lord God, move miraculously in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.